But basically, like, what do you want? If you want better movies, try to get them made. You know, find a script that's worth making, get the funding, get it out there. And then, you know, I don't know what to tell you.
Change is scary. Change bad.
Phil Smash, puny film critic.
Well, I mean, it's just, you know, it's change of the industry. You either change with the times or you make black comedies.
Yeah, look, in the immortal words of Max Headroom, you've got to catch the wave.
These days, the comic book owns pop culture. You'll find it all in the panel of your favorite comic book. Us, we're living the comic's life. We're breaking the panel.
Welcome to the new year and the breaking the panel. That is new as well. But you know what's not new is how badly I do some of these openings. So I have the Rock Out of Podcasting, Charles McFall, and a whole new you, new us, new thing going on today. We've got the effervescent and bubbly Paul Klotz.
No.
I was going to make on the clip show that is going out later tonight, I was going to make just a montage of Paul's openings, and it really was just one word. Yeah. There's not much of a montage to make.
Yeah, just a resounding meh.
The man, the myth, the legend, the guy coming in to polish Chris's shoes and warm his toilet seat, Casey Strohs.
It's me. I've got enough tookus for that skinny Kansas boy any day of the week.
Quick question, Casey. Are you now a co-host on Blazing Defender Report? Should we start pimping that out for you?
Dude, I want to be. He won't put me on every week.
I think he's on a lot. I thought maybe y'all made a deal that I didn't know about.
I think he's worried my novelty will wear off or something.
Mm-hmm.
It sure has. Yeah,
it has.
Okay, I accidentally stepped on that, but Klotz said sure has around here. And I don't know if that made on the recording, but I caught it. That was awesome. And the boisterous voice that you hear go, yeah, man, that is Phil of Botched. Hello. The fourth this month.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
Hey, girl, hey.
Hey, girl, hey.
This is going to be such an exciting night tonight. All right, let's get back to what we were doing before we started off, and then we get off track with a bunch of other things going on. I like when we talk about the things that we're watching and playing, so tell me something good. Phil, man, what are you watching or playing, and what's good this week?
Well, I am back into Skyrim. I got it on the Switch for Christmas, and I have fallen back into the world of Skyrim.
Coming soon to every console near you.
Oh, I know. They've taken so much money off of me. I've rebought Skyrim so many times. I'm playing Mario Odyssey here and there. It's an easy pick-me-up-and-go. I did play a new board game this week.
Oh, yeah?
It's called 5-Minute Dungeon. It's a 2-to-8-player co-op card game. And each round takes 5 minutes to play. And if you don't defeat the dungeon in 5 minutes, the game's over. So it's really fun. It's fast paced. And I enjoyed it more than I should. On the television side, Top Chef is back. So that's a big plus. But The Runaways, I'm still watching The Runaways, even though I'm getting a little tired of all the setting up and just setting up and setting up.
What episode are you in?
I'm current. So I know episode 8 is when things are getting a little bit more tense, but I wish it didn't take 8 episodes to get to this point. Though I understand to bring a new audience in, you have to do all this character building. And I've enjoyed it. I just, you know, you go from the book where page 1 or page 2 is right off the bat.
Hey, kids, your parents are evil. You should get out of here.
Well, right, but then they stretch that for 6 episodes.
That sucks. So,
yeah,
that's television for you.
I've been working through it with my kids. I think we're on 4 or 5. I think we're on 5. And I'm like, all right, I know the next episode is going to, you know, kick off, and now I got to make it through like 2 more episodes. It sounds like.
Yeah, but I mean, the casting is just so good, and it's so good that I keep giving it 42 minutes of my time every week.
Well, I guess. That'll work for you. Casey TV's The Strohs.
Yep. Good, man. We definitely got that in some order tonight. what am I doing? I finished off Dark Souls 3. Which
I saw your post where you blasted through Three of those.
Yeah.
I saw a very wise comment from your daddy, Paul Klotz.
Yeah. I didn't know this game was made by EA. I had no idea.
Oh, so, it's not.
Oh, I was going to say. Yeah. So this the classic From Software game, allegedly the toughest series of all time. I've done a couple of runs through now, and I've gotten all the achievements on Steam, which is really all the fun you could ever want out of a game.
It can't be the toughest series.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be, because it's the throwback to the old dungeons where there's no saves. And
I mean, has anybody played Mega Man? I mean, that shit is...
Oh, my God. That's horrible. Oh, real quick.
I've taken a run at the first 8 Mega Men because they were all in that anniversary collection on GameCube a couple years back. So I feel you, man.
9 and 10 are pretty difficult as well. The new, you know, on the...
On WiiWare, right?
Yeah. Well, it was on WiiWare, but it was also on, I believe, Xbox 360 and PS3?
I gotta go for it.
Check him out.
So, yeah, man. Get me some Splash Woman action.
Real quick, I forgot to open up the show with this. We have collectively decided to lighten the burden of the language barrier here on A Breaking the Panel. So,
bonjour.
To make it a little bit easier on our producer to edit and to make it a little more natural of our conversation. And we posted this on Facebook that swearing is our love language. So you're going to hear some four-letter words and those kind of things that you normally wouldn't hear before they would have been beeped. And I still think it'll be funny if Mike randomly beeps stuff just to mess with the audience. That'll be fun.
Yeah, he just needs to beep like stuff that's not...
Yeah, yeah, right.
It's what Kimmel does, doesn't he? Isn't it one of Kimmel's bits?
Yeah, that's...
Well,
that's...
Kimmel did a whole thing of unnecessary censorship, and he'll take a whole clip, like Sesame Street, and beep out another word, and it makes it funny. Well, that's not what I'm talking about.
Isn't the heart of good comedy stealing material from other artists?
Everybody steals, man.
I mean, that's...
Wait, is Kimmel good comedy now?
I mean, enjoy some of his bits, but I must say,
sure that's how you get a Comedy Central show, right? Is if you steal everybody else's bits.
Yeah, but then you get canceled within 3 months. So
yeah, I'm Carlos Menstelia.
Brian, though. So yeah, so you're gonna hear some four letter words. We're still are gonna stay away from graphic sexual stuff, Phil.
And well, see you later.
Over the line botch type jokes, Phil. So, but there definitely is. Just want to give you guys warning. Now, on Facebook, on Breaking the Panel on Facebook, I posted this earlier this week about... I found a great thing from Etsy, of all places, a picture that says swearing is my love language, and put some comments out about how we're doing this. The feedback overall has been about time. They actually were irritated by the beeps, and it's just, as Klaus has pointed out many times, it's kind of natural conversation these days. So you're gonna hear it. There we go. So I did step on you, Casey. Was there anything else you wanted to tell us good about this week?
I finished off Black Mirror too.
Damn, man, that just dropped. I'm still working on Travelers and stuff.
Psh, listen, when you're breaking the panel, you gotta have your finger to the pulse of this stuff, man. You gotta like have it done day one. That's me.
Sorry.
Yeah.
I smelled toast.
Hey, you know what would be fun if for this episode we did an introduction where it's like it's half botched and then there's a record scratch and then it's breaking the panel? Like we fool them into thinking they're watching a better show for about 10 minutes?
Oh, you're fired again.
Oh, come on. I'm trying to win the new guy over. Give me a break.
All you got to do is tell him his freaking princess is in a different castle and you'll win him every time.
Wow. Okay.
It's me. Okay. It's a pretty good toad. There's my boy. I'm gonna win.
I love all the Waluigi memes.
He does.
Of all that stupid off on the shelf spoofs, Waluigi on a squeegee just cracked me up every time I saw it.
I think Paul posted that and it destroyed me.
Yeah, I think the first time I saw it, Paul posted it. Yeah.
Wait, what was it?
Waluigi on a squeegee.
Oh. Yeah. Well, all right. So my favorite cosplay, I think, of all time is the guy who goes around cons as Waluigi on a little, like a little power wheel and throws other cosplayers because it's just so good. and it's awesome. Like he looks ridiculous on that thing because it's made for a child and he's not a child. It's great. And I just imagine being there and hearing him go, ah, ha, ha, bam.
That'd be cool. That would definitely be cool. Paul, tell me something good, man.
Paul Klotz, coming at you live. Let's see. I have been for Christmas, my lovely sister got me Batman and Harley Quinn Blu-ray, as well as the Judas Contract Blu-ray. And, you know, I like those mature DC animated films. Batman and Harley Quinn was pretty cool. I dug it a lot. Definitely captured the tone in a way that the Killing Joke completely destroyed the tone of that whole thing.
Oh, you mean using sex as a character motivation?
Well, yeah, I mean, because sex does come up in Batman and Harley Quinn, but it completely makes sense, and it's totally fine, and they gloss, like, they show it, and then they move on. Well, not they don't show it, but you know what I mean? They imply it, and then they move on, and it's a great bit, and it's not completely out of character for the characters involved, and that was nice.
Well, who knocks boots with who?
Batman and Robin finally hook up.
it's Harley and Nightwing.
Oh,
which when you watch it, you'll get the Nightwig joke. Though Dick, she does
Dick
she,
laying some dick. I'm with you.
I'll tell you, she. well, she's got him tied up, right? And then I'm gonna leave it there. But anyways, yeah, she's like, well, I always thought like you and Batman weren't into girls, and I was like, oh my god. It was a fun little romp, you know what I mean? It wasn't super serious, but it wasn't like complete like nonsense either. It was cool. I had already seen Judas Contract, which was great. I'm just happy to own it now. Which leads me to something else to talk about. You know what I like about Warner Brothers? Not the DCEU, but what I do like about Warner Brothers is that most of their movies come with free digital codes for their films.
Oh, nice.
If you get the right, you know, if you get the right packaging. And what's cool about that is you usually redeem them through Vudu, and now Vudu is part of Movies Anywhere, everywhere, all the where, which is a cool service because it basically brings in, I think it's four different retailers and video supply companies and puts them all under one app. So it'll port your library in from Vudu as well as, I think, Amazon was another one.
Which Google. App? I was typing. Which app was this?
Movies Anywhere.
Oh, that's Disney.
Well, but it's a lot of different things.
Yeah, yeah.
It'll
pull in everything. That I can
right. Yeah.
Pull
in I was really impressed by that. And what was cool about it? So I've redeemed a bunch of movies over the last couple of years. And then because I linked my accounts with Movies Anywhere, they gave me five movies for free.
Yeah, but one of them was Ghostbusters, wasn't it?
Yeah, that kind of upset me a little bit because that's there forever.
I was happy like, with that, but I knew so the second you said they gave me 5 minutes, like, oh, wait.
Yeah, yeah. So you get a Bourne movie, which that's fine. I dug those back in the day, not so much the more recent ones. You get Big Hero 6, which is great. Yeah,
that's fun.
You get the first Ice Age movie, which is great.
Yep.
Let's see, what else was in there?
The newest Ghostbusters.
No, that's the bad part. That's the part I don't want to talk about.
Wait, did you talk about Ghostbusters yet?
Yeah, the one with your favorite, Melissa McCarthy.
Yeah, does busting on Melissa McCarthy make you feel good?
I thought there was going to be no sex jokes here.
Yeah, we decided to relax the language a little bit. But you've gone too far, sir.
Too far. That's my middle name. TV's too far, Casey.
Lady McFarley is fine, I guess.
You mean Lady Kevin James.
Like, fine as fine?
That is so much worse, Phil. That is like, oh.
I'm not wrong. I'm sorry.
To be fair, Klotz said that he had such a negative opinion of the movie when he went and saw it that it was better than he thought. I'm giving you grief.
Well, no, I tell everybody this all the time. I'm like, that Ghostbusters was fine. It wasn't great, It wasn't as good as the original.
Was it better than Ghostbusters 2, though?
Oh, see, I haven't watched Ghostbusters 2 recently enough to really assess that.
I think, man,
but
there's something that, without going down that whole road again and talking about this for a long time,
yeah.
The original has magic captured in it. You know what I mean? It's those comedians / actors at the best of their best. You know what I mean? And it's not the best film, but it's great. Whereas this is not the best film, and it's fine. It wasn't completely terrible. It did get a little, like, some of the gags, like particularly with Chris Hemsworth, got boring by the end. Like they really overplayed the stupid stud thing. But you know, it is what it is. I just wish it wasn't on my account. I should message them and be like, revoke this thing. Leave the others. Those are fine.
So what was that? I don't remember what the fifth one was. Do you remember?
Oh, I'm trying to remember, but I don't remember. I mean, I could open my account and look, but yeah, anyways, I thought that was cool.
Mad Max Fury Road and
yeah. Well, it wasn't because I have Mad Max Fury Road, but yeah, I was like, I own that.
That's a never movie mind. Good enough to buy twice, though.
Mm. I don't agreed. Have Mad Max. I don't remember that being an offering. Maybe because I didn't
Mad
Max. I don't know.
I got it separately. I got it for Christmas last year. So, yeah. But anyways, it's a cool service. If you are someone who buys Blu-rays from time to time, or if you're even better, if you're somebody who buys Blu-rays and doesn't ever want to access your stuff digitally, you can hook a friend up and give them that code, and then they can watch the movie through a streaming service. Now, of course,
you found at btp@giantsizetubeup.com.
Yeah. Charles will take it. But so I thought it was really cool. There's apps for it, for the Vudu at least, which is a really cleverly branded Walmart subsidy, I guess. I'm like, okay, yeah. You're Walmart. Yeah. But they're on like all the consoles and stuff, so you can still tap into your library that way, because Movies Anywhere, I keep trying to say everywhere, Movies Anywhere isn't completely rolled out on all the platforms yet, but it's because it's relatively new. But I imagine there will be apps available on pretty much everything eventually. But it's a cool service. Other than that, I got Destiny 2 as well.
Oh, how is it?
I've been playing a lot since I got it. I've had it for about 4 days and it's about all I've been doing. However, I'm starting to see the end of the road. There's been a lot of fair criticism lobbed at Destiny 2. Destiny 2 is a beautiful game. I'll say this much.
Very pretty.
Gorgeous game. The environments are cool. The combat, for the most part, feels good. The classes feel good. The only problem is that it's very, very light on content, and like once you finish the story and then finish the expansion, because the first expansion's out, all of the end game content except for the two raids is literally recycled story. Like your dungeons and your, you know, all the, they're called strikes, but that kind of stuff is literally just a section of the story that you've already done with like ramped up difficulty and stuff. And we've seen MMOs and stuff recycle dungeons for different things or that kind of stuff. But this was really like, it takes less than a day. Like if you sit down for an 8-hour stretch, you'll destroy the story. Oh. And probably you can beat the whole story in a day or two with some dedicated gaming. You can beat the expansion in another day or two with dedicated gaming. And that's it. Like you just keep running through the same stuff over and over again, and that gets a little tedious. But it's still fun. It's fun to just shoot stuff, man. There's some cool boss fights and stuff there's some frustrating stuff too. Like sometimes you get your ass whooped, but, it's
what class it's, did you go with?
I my main is Warlock. I've okay. still got to roll the alts, but, I'm enjoying Warlock. They've had their holiday event going on, which has a fun PvP mode where everybody's supers and powers refresh themselves really, really quickly. And so, like, you can run around just soul bombing everybody as the Warlock, and you're like, buh, buh, and just explosions, kind of like Mr. Torg. So it's cool, but I would 100% never pay full price for it. I would not buy it in the hopes that you would have something you're going to play nonstop for weeks or months. It's not that kind of game. As my friends put it, you basically every week on reset on Tuesdays, you log in, you do your weekly stuff to get your your new gear, because everything's done with eye level, but the eye level completely doesn't matter. Like, all your item level, all it does is lock you out of certain content. So it's really just adding up numbers, because I've used lower level guns and they're fine. Yeah. I mean, that's the thing, is what they don't tell you is that these numbers mean nothing. There's a little bit of customization in the game here and there. It's not super crazy, but there is enough to make it interesting. There's a bunch of different guns and stuff that are fun. I mean, it's solid. It's just not full price solid. That's what I've been up to.
Cool. So hit me.
No. Moving on. Our first... Charles!
Hey, Charles, think fast!
What have you been watching, reading, or fantasizing about?
I miss Chris. That's what I'm fantasizing about.
He has a Chris. Family, sir. A family.
Deplorable.
We all...
Go on.
Kissed Phil at Dragon Con. I'm just saying.
No. Phil kissed us. Charles, you should go though.
I will. So I got for Christmas.
No, really. Like, tell us what you've been up to.
My brother-in-law bought me a PS4 for Christmas, and I don't know why.
Yeah.
But that was that was the saddest DJ air horn.
You should have done it on the CAD keyboard.
It's not the DJ that you deserve, or whatever the Batman quote is.
Yeah. So I immediately went over to GameStop to see what was clearance or cheap, and ended up buying Destiny 1 for $3, and that was fun. And I made a mistake. So they're GameStop is what it is. I'm not going to make apologies for it. I know it's had controversy over the last couple of years, but at least in my opinion, they are trying hard here, where they put on all the stickers on all the Destiny games. These are used. There are no codes. So there was a version of just Destiny 1, and there was the Game of the Year edition where you could download all the packs for free, all the expansion. Mm-hmm. But it says, you know, no codes. I'm like, all right, that makes sense. It's $3. It's been here forever, or, you know, been out for a long time, whatever, because it won't work. So they also had a sale. This is before Christmas, right before Christmas. They had the sale. Any pre-used game that was $10 or less, you can get 4 for 20 total. And actually, I got it for less than 20 because it actually did bring it down, because Destiny was only $3. It actually compensated for that and took off $15 off the other three games total. So I got Batman, sponsored by you, Casey, or inspired by you. I got the newest Batman. Was it Arkham Knights?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because I beat the first one. I can't remember if I beat the second one, but I played it for a while. And then I was like, I saw you had gone through it during the holidays. You were getting it. I was like, hey, you know what? Arkham Knights, $5. Why not? And then I got Battleborn, because I am a huge fan of you just mentioned Mr. Torg. Borderlands.
Oh.
And Borderlands. Yeah. And so Gearbox and 2K. So I'm like, I'm not a big shooter MMO guy, but I'll try it. So I picked that up. And then to get the discount, I ended up picking up Transformers something or other. Kids game that my kids actually really enjoying, and so I've been working through that. I played it for like 5 minutes. I probably will enjoy it, to be honest. You know, there's not enough explosions yet. But I did get to transform and run somebody over as Optimus Prime, so that was fun. It was a Decepticon. It was not a person. So anyway, I've actually been really surprised by how much I'm enjoying I am blanking. I should not have been drinking that moonshine, man.
It'll make you go memory blind and regular blind.
Destiny, it is beautiful. It's fun. I never do melee in games. I hate melee. I love sniping. I love big explosions. I love guns that blow people's heads off. But Destiny, there's something so natural about being the Punisher. You just come up and they come around the corner, tap, tap with the gun, stab in the face, and they're dead. Tap, tap, stab. I do that a lot. I actually try to take down some bosses by stabbing them in the face. It's a lot of fun to do the melee in that game. Then the thing I'm watching is Travelers came back on December 26th. Second season dropped on Netflix. So good. It is so good. I'm enjoying the crap out of that. So that's what I've been doing, guys. You guys are anybody else watching The Travelers?
I've never even heard of it.
Yeah, what's it about?
Okay, so the basic premise is Eric McCormack, who is most well known for playing Will and Grace, he's the lead in this. And it's your standard set nowadays, but it's your standard. The future is dystopian. The humans are dying. Animals are diseased. And you never see that part. What they do is they found out a way to send people back in time, of course, to fix it. But it's not just. Here's a twist that actually really made it interesting. They can only send consciousnesses back. And because there's a 40% chance that an adult mind will just basically explode, it can't handle consciousness. No. Children are messengers. The children's minds are fine. So they'll use them as like messengers, like real quick, like a text message. You need to do this kind of thing. But no, they find the adult at the time of their death historically, and they take over the brain then. And most of the time it succeeds and they can go on. But, you know, because if they die, they were going to die anyway. And if you take over their life, it doesn't matter because they were going to die anyway. So the consciousness is in the new body. And then you've got to deal with the repercussions of everything, not knowing exactly how the little tweaks and niches are everyday life of how you spoke or little habits, loved ones, addiction, getting it wrong in history, because a lot of their history comes from the internet in the future. So, of course, we know people make fake profiles and lie. So that plays into it. It is really good. And the whole idea is they're getting orders from the future to help prevent some apocalypse thing, and they won't really know if their actions really change things, and it's good. And I gotta say, they wrap
sounds like Days of Future Past meets Quantum Leap,
kind of
a little bit, yeah. Yeah. So I will check it out.
Yeah, you've sold me, Chuck.
All right. Well, here's something else that I can sell you on, Casey. Somebody hacked our website, man. Somebody went in and did a whole lot of stuff to giantsizeteamup.com. Do you know much about that?
It was me with the password I absconded from your personal email that gave me an email access to the website. It's still a work in progress, but you can see I've rolled out, you know, just a new single page design for the website so far. It was a beta test that I didn't know we were planning on going forward with immediately, but fuck it, it's here. So enjoy it while you can.
There wasn't a whole lot of beta to it. I mean, you did a slam up job, and I kept looking at the test to show other people, you know, show Klotz and the partners. And I went, why is this not live? We could just make this live. So I made it.
Yeah.
Live.
I mean, I guess if it's better than what we had, I'm all for it.
It looks great. Go check out giantsizeteamup.com, and you'll see Botched and us and everybody else there. It's beautiful. So this first headline I brought, because it irritated the crap out of me today. So this is Jodie Foster apparently directed the episode called Archangel of this newest series of Black Mirror.
And it was good.
And all of Black Mirror has been good. I haven't seen this newest season yet, but I've seen up to this season. And all of them are really well done, and they're good. And there's a certain quality you expect from it. So she's doing these interviews, right, about it. Well, somehow, I guess it came up in conversation about Marvel and DC. And this is a direct quote from Jodie Foster. Going to the movies has become like a theme park. Studios making bad content in order to appeal to the masses and shareholders is like fracking. You get the best return right now, but you wreck the earth. And this is from Deadline Hollywood, if you want to look it up, deadline.com. Then in a final jab, she says, it's ruining the viewing habits of the American population and ultimately the rest of the world. And she adds that the CGI is a spectacle and not the reasons why she makes movies. Says the lady who made a movie standing on a foreign planet talking to her dead dad. That was all CGI, asshole. So it just feels very hypocritical and, you know, who asked you type of deal.
Well, I mean, since how long has it been since Jodie Foster was relevant?
Well, until this week, a long time, apparently.
I mean, she was in Panic Room.
That was like 15 years ago.
Panic Room was 2002, oh which was 15 years ago. Oh, my Lord. Oh, shit.
Oh, my God. God.
What?
Look how old you've become.
Oh, my God. I don't even recognize you anymore.
Oh, yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. She's been a fantastic actress From what I understand, she's a decent director. But come, like, I'm kind of tired of these people who've been in the industry, for a long time. They're all coming out of the woodwork from time to time being like, I can't make the movies I used to make.
And it's because a superhero. No.
Well, no, I mean, it's like, yeah, okay. We nerds have been fighting for nerd stuff to be mainstream for a long time, longer than I've been alive. And it is. So deal with it. Okay, it will pass someday. I don't know when that day will be, but we're at the tail end of a
battle
decade.
For nerd approval has been passed down from geek generation to geek generation.
But it's like I don't know what to tell you, lady. Like, and this is, and I don't want to make this about her being a woman. That's not what I'm trying to say. But basically, yeah, exactly. But basically, like, what do you want? If you want better movies, try to get them made. You know, find a script that's worth making, get the funding, get it out there, and then, be in three theaters and sell a couple hundred tickets and then win an Oscar anyways. Like, I don't know what to tell you. Like, sorry about you, but...
Change is scary! Change bad!
Phil Smash, puny film critics.
Well, I mean, it's just, it's... change of the industry. You either change with the times or you make black comedies.
Yeah, look, in the immortal words of Max Headroom, you've got to catch the wave. Yeah, I'm glad somebody got that one. Not too old of a joke. No, but I think she's kind of right. I mean, when's the last time we've seen a movie that was like a real original kind of IP? That was good on its own. That wasn't just some sort of regurgitated sequel, remake, reboot, adaptation.
Anything that Wes Anderson does.
That's pretty good.
Yep. That's why I said.
You know he's dead.
Arrival. Arrival last year.
Arrival was good.
Kubo and the Two Strings. I mean, there's movies out there, and they can do well if they're marketed right, in the case of Kubo. There's stuff. But people have to want to support it. But people are gravitating towards franchises because they're reliable, or at least they think they are. Shout out to BVS for my man Chris.
Yeah,
pour one out for the homie.
No, milk that money.
Seriously, man,
we didn't make it a single episode into 2018 without it getting mentioned.
Because of you.
Yeah, no, but I mean, like, that's the thing. Is it's like. There are movies that are getting made. They're not getting the exposure that they deserve. And that can, you can definitely accuse the studios of that. But you can also accuse the public. Arrival didn't make a ton of money. It did well, but it didn't do insanely well.
I mean, it made like four times its budget.
Right. But you know what I'm saying? Like it didn't make Marvel money. It didn't make Star Wars money. Not that I expected it to. There are interesting stories, but look at what happened to Blade Runner. Blade Runner was a franchise. It is a franchise film based on a cult classic. It's a beautiful film. And, if you're into highbrow sci-fi, it's a really interesting, film. And it did terribly. People did not show up for it. And they threw a ton of money at marketing for it. So who are you angry with? Are you angry with the industry that's pumping out movies that actually make money? Or are you angry with the public who doesn't care? The general public, at least, that doesn't care about art films and stuff like that, because they never really have. But now it's a little bit more exaggerated because every Marvel movie is the next, blockbuster, the box office breaker and all that. You know what I mean? So I get that the space is clouded. I get it. But like,
how many superhero movies came out last year? Does anybody know?
A shitload.
Yeah. So I mean, I understand, like, if you just look at it at that point, like, this is the only thing that's coming out, and this is the only thing that's making money, and I can't catch a role, in any of these movies. So I could see why she would be upset, and I don't disagree with her.
But it's
fully, because I'm personally getting a little fatigue off of all the superhero movies, but we are past the halfway point, and I don't know. I can understand it, but at the same time, like, change with the times or GTFO.
Well, when a war movie comes out, we're going to get 15 war movies. When, a Lethal Weapon type movie comes out, we're going to get a whole bunch of those type of deals. I mean, that's how every cycle goes. In fact, Halloween movies never really fell off. They stopped being the big summer blockbusters, but every Halloween we get flooded with scary movies for a month. And it's just a ton of them, right? 9, 10 all in 6 weeks or so.
Yeah.
And that's just the way it goes. But you can still make, like you're saying, you can still make their Arrivals. You can still make the Kubos. You can still make the indie films. Begin Again, I think is what it was called, with Mark Ruffalo. That was an independent film that was amazing. Him and the English girl, I can't think of her name right now. Keira Knightley. Him and Keira Knightley. And it was great. And it went to a small smattering of theaters that came to mind, and I got to go for free for whatever reason. I mean, I was invited, like literally AMC's like, hey, come watch this movie. I said, okay. And it was amazing. Mm-hmm. And I ranted about it. Raved, I guess. I raved about it.
To answer Phil's question, it looks like it's 8 this year.
There had to be more than that.
No. You're only counting like DC, whatever. Last year, Valerian and the.
I mean, I counted Split and Power Rangers. I don't know what else.
Valerian and the. Because I Googled it last year to see what was on the list. There's a lot of ones that are from comics that you don't always realize are from comics.
Okay.
So if you want to do the umbrella of comics, there's a lot. Okay.
So Valerian is another good example. That's Luc Besson, right?
Yeah, I had so much
help. Really, really well-known sci-fi director.
Fifth Element's own Luc Besson?
Yep. Yeah. Okay. It was a comic franchise, but nobody knows that because it was a French comic, you know, and only Francophiles would, you know what I mean? But, like, it comes out. They did a ton of advertising for it. It's a beautiful-looking film, and it didn't do well.
It was okay, though.
And it... Well, right. You know, I mean, it does have some flaws. I enjoyed it. Yeah. And it very, if you know what I mean? It felt very Fifth Element to me, because Fifth Element isn't a great movie. True. It's a fun movie. It's a good movie. It's got a lot of great moments. If Fifth Element was done with someone other than Bruce Willis, it probably would have flopped completely. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, if somebody didn't have the comedic timing that Bruce in the, you know, the panache that, Bruce Willis has, you know what I mean? So that's my whole thing, is it's like Hollywood is risk averse, and yet they still try things. Valerian was a big try, you know, and it flopped. And it's like, so they spent, and you know, I don't know what to say. Like, you can film a drama, you know what I mean, or a rom-com pretty cheaply compared to these these big blockbusters. So why aren't they doing it? You know what I mean? Like, maybe there's just not any results, any desire. I mean, I'm sure they're getting all the data from Netflix and everybody else now too. You know what I mean? to see what's actually being watched.
And honestly, that's where you're going to put your artsy independent film. Oh, yeah. Is on Netflix and Hulu, because they'll get watched and they'll get funded.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we talked about this before, me and Paul and Kearns, the three of us were talking about this, because my closest IndiePlex is about 45 minutes away. So I normally just wait, instead of seeing them in the theaters, I just wait for them to come to streaming. So hopefully, we were talking about the Cannes Film Festival was upset about streaming services. But I mean, that's how I saw Ex Machina. You know, I couldn't make the 45 minute trip down there. So I just waited till Ex Machina came on to, I think it was Amazon or one of the streaming services.
Which was great.
Yeah, which is another, like, smaller, you know, they made that movie for $15 million.
Yeah.
And that movie's incredible.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, is you can do this, but somebody's got to be willing to back it, and it's got to get out there, and it's got to produce results. And if it doesn't, that's why you're not seeing any of the stuff that you're hoping to see, you know?
Yeah, and I don't know. It just kind of came off grumpy, and definitely slightly hypocritical, because she's been in a number of CGI'd movies. But it's okay. It is what it is. She's entitled to her opinion. I disagree, and it's fine. Logan Paul, YouTuber and fellow media creator, did some really stupid shit, didn't he, Paul?
Oh, yeah.
You're usually more hands on the pulse, fingers on the pulse of this, the YouTube network stuff, so I'll let you sum it up.
Well,
Paul Klotz, world's oldest teenager.
Oh, can we get rid of him?
You invited him.
I know, and I regret it.
Now.
You chose.
Wait a minute. You invited him. I didn't. I just agreed. Let's take it all back.
It's fucking Phil's fault.
Hey, you're language.
I've made new assets. I'm part of this now.
Yeah. You could be unpart of it real quick, boy. anyways.
Mute.
So, Logan Paul is a YouTuber. He used to be big on Vine before that withered.
I see what you did here.
Boo!
Yes, boo this man. I deserve it. He does a lot of your, like, shock and awe type stuff. Like, it's not intelligent content. Let's just be honest. It's meant to appeal to teenagers and probably young 20-somethings, and there's nothing wrong with being entertained by stupid videos. I want to get that out there. But what is wrong is when you travel to Japan and you go into the suicide forest that hundreds of people, Japanese people, go into to commit suicide in various ways, and you wander around until you find a recently deceased person. And then you're videoing it, and you get excited that you found a body, and then you mock it. You're probably an asshole. In fact, no, you are, and that's what he did. So people are really upset about this, and rightfully so.
Yeah. Human nature in me. Well, first, I didn't see the video. I saw the repercussions of it. My wife loves to flip through iFunny. It kept coming, memes kept coming up. So we looked it up and found the story about it. And his apology was, you know, the laughter was just a nervous reaction kind of deal. And I went, at first, I was like, okay, I might can get that because that is how some people deal with it. And then I went, wait a minute. You're not me. I do stuff live because I have zero desire to sit down and actually edit video. And that's why I'm not a huge YouTuber, because the guys who are huge on YouTube, like Logan Paul, probably has a production team now, but before they put in the effort to edit and produce and reshoot and great lighting and cameras. And then I didn't even think about why they were in the suicide forest until you just really brought it out there, Klaus. So, but my first thought was, no, you didn't have to post that. You literally spent time and energy and probably money into producing that video. And then you uploaded it knowing it's going to get a lot of clicks. And he did use a word that I really, really hate about raising awareness. Fuck you. I hate that phrase. It's usually a cop-out like it was here. And that's what gets me. You can believe him all you want that he's sorry. And he's probably sorry because he had a backlash. But the reality is it takes a lot of effort and energy to put those videos up. It wasn't just, hey, look, I'm live in the woods. Oh, shit, there's a dead body. It wasn't right. That at all. And that's bad. It's just bad.
You know, the thing is, too, there's some cultural context to the suicide forest. Japan has a really, you know, if you know anything about Japan, you know that there's the work culture is pretty toxic. That, you know, I mean, people die at work, not just because they died, but because they've been there for so long.
Wow.
You know, like people die, we talked about this last year. Some animators had passed away at work because they had been there for like over 24 hours straight working the whole time. There's this really, and the Japanese people culturally have a different perspective on the value of life to Westerners. And so there's a lot of pressure in Japanese society to perform, to be successful, to achieve success, to be great. If you somehow fail to do so, it can send you down a dark path. And that's a lot of these people that wander into the forest have somehow failed in their life or had had things fall apart. And they saw no other choice but to wander into the forest and die. And it's really, there's a great documentary out there. I can't recall the name of that covers it, but they talk about like what these people are thinking and how they go about it. A lot of them go set up a tent and just starve to death, which is horrible. They'll just lay in that tent until life leaves their body. You know what I mean? And I know this is pretty heavy for what we normally cover. And I apologize if this, and for anybody who's lost anyone to suicide or anything like that, please know that we understand it. In the West, it's a thing that's usually pretty, pretty, you know, brutal. Like people usually, like men tend to take their life violently. You know, women tend to, either take a bunch of pills or, you know,
yeah,
do other
it's
things.
More passive about it.
Right. Right. And there, it's different there, though. It's like this is it's really sad what's going on over there. And the forest is filled. Like the documentary I watched was talking about how there are potentially dozens, if not hundreds, of corpses out there that are unrecovered because it's a dense forest in parts. And this is just a thing. They wander, and some of them have been out there for years. You know what I mean? So it's a really sad thing. It's got a lot of cultural context. And, you know, the thing is, I might believe that he was apologetic about it, except from what I understand, he walked into the forest with a football to throw around and stuff. Like, you go to a place that's colloquially known as the suicide forest with, like, sporting equipment to go have a good time. No, you're not raising awareness. You're raising awareness of yourself and how much of a colossal dick you are. And yeah, I hope this destroys this kid's career, if I'm honest, because he just needs to stop. Like, this is a bridge too far for me. And it's really sad. You know what I mean? And I feel bad for anybody who has bumped into any of this nonsense, because it's kind of heartbreaking in a way.
Yeah, it gives all of us a bad name who likes to create media on internet. And cause the people who don't understand media and how it's created point to this stuff. And I don't get, I mean, my wife, love her to death, she thinks most of the stuff on YouTube is dumb. I'm like, it's just not your cup of tea. Like Jacksepticeye, it's not your cup of tea, but I've actually watched it. He puts in a high quality effort. He's got a specific style of humor. I get why my kids like it. It's not stupid, but this kind of thing.
My godson watches him, and it's really tough for me to watch along with him. but I hear you. You know, he does. You're talking about someone who appeals to kids.
Yeah.
He puts out high quality content, and he does a lot of different things too. Because there's some people, like there's been Minecraft, for example, YouTubers that all they've done for years is Minecraft. It's like some of these guys try really, really hard to find the next horizon of content, and it's difficult. I've seen the people who try to make a living through social media and through YouTube and content creation that isn't something static like our, like we have the show, you know what I mean? This is something we do every week. We have a general theme. We talk about issues that are coming up, but there are people who are just trying to create the next, you know, something that's going to appeal to their audience and also find a larger audience. And so they're always, you know, they're always looking for the new world to plunder, and it's not the suicide forest.
No.
So please don't do stuff like that. If you're ever thinking, with a football and like somebody described it, like I didn't watch the video because I don't want to give them the clicks, but someone described it like the moment they found the body, the corpse is so morbid. The moment they found the body, his face like lit up and he got excited. And I know that part of that is like he said, the nervous thing, like, you know, people laugh sometimes when they're really scared or really upset or something, you know, but this is your living. Like you're like, oh, I just found the gold mine. I found the nuggets. You know what I mean? And that's really distasteful and unfortunate.
Casey, Phil, y'all got anything to throw on that?
No, Paul covered it perfectly. Kid's a dick. No, get him out of here.
He's so pops the bejesus out of that one.
Yeah, I apologize, but it's
don't
just...
No, don't. God, don't. I mean, it's just another YouTuber to, you know, fall from grace. Because
PewDiePie was the first to fall. Yeah.
But I'm okay with everybody falling because they're all dicks.
That is something to be said about hard work and focus and building something and understanding what you're building versus, hey, I tried this cool thing. I'm really good at it. And I'm just going to keep riding this cool thing until it goes away. And the next thing that comes along and the next thing that comes along and woohoo, enjoy the ride. Well, when you enjoy the ride, you don't know what the hell you're doing and you pull stupid shit like they have and you fuck it up, you know, as opposed to like the Mark Marons of the world who worked hard at what they did, got some form of success. And when they saw that they didn't like or they weren't going to be able to follow the path that they were on traditionally, they found a new path to keep doing what they did in the first place. And knew what they were creating and always faced forward. So there's a little two cents.
Moral of the story, bring stray cats into your house. Got it.
There you go. Phil, this is your new one. We're getting some new robot overlords. Is that what happened?
Oh, man. Sophia, your friend, neighborhood humanoid robot is back in the news. If anybody is not familiar with Sophia, she is an artificial intelligence that has, she's the first robot to become a citizen of a country, Saudi Arabia. But every time she comes out and talks to, let's say, Tech Daily or any kind of tech or any kind of interview, it is the creepiest thing I have ever watched. And it's one step closer to our imminent death. But this week in this interview, she was enlightening society about her favorite television shows, which are, let me see, Black Mirror and Westworld. So what could go wrong? What could go wrong? I'm sure we're fine. So I salute you, new overlords of America. But yeah, so the interviewer was talking about television, and she was like, his first question was, have you ever seen or heard of Black Mirror, the television show? She's like, no, haven't heard of it. And then the conversation continues on, and then he's like, all right, well, what are some of your favorite programs? She's like, I like Black Mirror and Westworld. She's like, I'm sorry, what? I'm sorry? No, what? No, don't. All right, yeah. She's like, yeah, it's Westworld's a good teaching tool on how robots should be treated.
And what happens if they're not treated?
And if they're not, I'm just waiting for her eyes to turn red for a hot second and then go back to normal. So but, oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, the video's around. You can check it out. It's on Twitter. It's on any tech website. But it is 3 minutes and 48 seconds of absolute terror.
Wow.
I feel like there's two distinct possibilities here. One, she watched all of Black Mirror, like, robotically in the time. Between the crushes.
He downloaded the Matrix.
Or there's some programmer who's feeding her lines that is just like, I really like that Westworld. Let's plug that right now. Wow. Well, don't hurt my robot, lady.
Sophia, what's your favorite movie? The Matrix. For reasons unrelated to what you might think.
So, I mean, it's really just a mobile chat bot, right? And it's just throwing out pre-written responses that they pull from a database in the cloud. But it's still terrifying to me, and I don't like it. We shouldn't be doing this. And half of her head's exposed, and you can see the hard drive spinning.
Yeah, why don't they give her a wig or something?
Because she has to be terrifying.
Wait, are you bot shaming right now? Are you?
Yeah, yes, 100%. Come at me, 100%.
But here's a real question. Who can sue who? Because she's truly Sophia the First, but Disney owns Sophia the First, so who gets sued in this whole matter?
I mean, Disney can probably sue the pants off anybody.
All right, fuck you guys. Casey, you've got something to be excited about right now.
Yeah, my favorite comic book is coming back. Which would be Marvel's Exiles. I've talked about it on the show before, but if you don't know what Exiles is, the original premise was Sliders meets the X-Men. Six X-Men from different realities, different histories, different lives, come together by a mysterious overlord called the Time Broker and have to fix small problems in individual alternate Earth time streams. And eventually they jump and jump and jump, and like Quantum Leap, hopefully they'll eventually get home.
That didn't work out too well for Sliders. I don't believe they ever made it home.
No. Well, they, in one episode they did, but then they weren't sure if it was very similar to home or yeah. And they ended up jumping anyway, which was rough. They also had that whole thing with the two Arturos, which is difficult to handle. Yeah.
But so what is it you love about the Exiles? Why are you excited it's coming back?
It's a comic book that literally can't fail, and yet in the hands of a poor writer has failed. You can tell any story you want. You can use any character that exists. You can make new characters, and you can it's like an open canvas in comic book form, at least for superhero stories. I mean, you don't have to tell a superhero story for this, and they've done stories where they haven't necessarily, even though the main cast are all, you know, six superheroes on a team. But you know, you don't have to make up an excuse for things to happen in a certain way. You just start a new arc, they jump to a different world, and it's a Western world. And now you've got, you know, superheroes in the Wild West. It's anything. And that was really the charm of the book. Like, the first couple of stories were they start you out easy. It's like, what if Professor Xavier was evil and bent on world domination and Magneto was a good guy? That's how they open it up. And then they lead into stories like, how about in the 1800s, the world was taken over by the Skrulls, who started all the superhumans just for giant gladiatorial contests. So you have a whole arc that's basically Marvel superheroes, but are gladiators. And a decade before, well, not a decade, but like 6 or 7 years before Planet Hulk was a thing, where you could have space gladiators that were also superheroes. It was a book that was, I don't want to say ahead of its time all the time, but it always had its finger on the pulse of something new. And that was the charm. Also, it's a character-driven book that, you know, in superhero comics, somebody dies. Paul, Phil, you know this. You shrug your shoulders and it's like, all right, whatever. They'll be back in a year. A
couple years. Yep.
Why am I not on that list? I know that too, Casey.
I wasn't sure. I mean, I've just been going over the 5 comics you've actually read, and I don't know if there's any significant character death in there.
Well, he did read Executioner's Song, so he does know that, like, people come back.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
Fair enough.
Wait, who dies in Executioner's Song?
Xavier!
Oh, right.
Spoiler.
That's the execution of Executioner's Song.
I was just testing you, Charles.
I was just testing you, Charles.
But yeah, the book is coming back. It was originally by Judd Winnick, Mike McCone, Jim Calfiore, but now it's being written by Saladin Ahmed, who has been writing Black Bolt, which has been pretty solid. Javier Rodriguez is doing pencils, Alvaro Lopez on inks, and Jordi Belair on colors, I believe. Yeah. It should be a solid ride. I'm not crazy about the team lineup, but I'm more than happy just to have Blink back because she's more or less the main character. She ain't my favorite because she ain't Morph, but it could be Morph in disguise. I'm still holding out for some amount of Morph in this comic book. But the lineup has got an old, like, Sarah Connor-style Kamala Khan Miss Marvel, a tiny cartoon Wolverine that looks like something from Mojo World. It's got Iron Lad, who's the young Kang the Conqueror from Young Avengers.
Ooh, I like me some Iron Lad.
Yeah, Iron Lad's cool. And it's got a fifth mystery member who we don't know yet, but looks to be holding a spear. So hopefully not the Submariner, because fuck that guy. and instead of the Time Broker, they're brought together by Nick Fury, who is currently in a The Watcher-esque role on the moon. So different, you know. Different in a lot of ways, similar in enough ways where I'm absolutely on board. I wouldn't miss this for anything.
Very cool, man. Now, I'll save it. That'll be my question for... speaking of, it is that time. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back, and we're going to talk about a little bit of podcasting Spin the Bottle, where we just throw out some random questions and to the group. And hey, you be careful, Casey. When Phil gets happy, he gets kissy.
I'm going to kiss you.
That always hurts.
Those moist, moist lips.
I didn't say I hated it, Phil.
Nobody ever does. I hated it.
All right, we'll be back right after this. And here we come back at you again. So who does anybody have a burning desire to go first, or do you want me to kind of kick it off?
Let's spin that bottle, Charles.
All right, so this is for the group. This is... in the vein of getting to know us better, but instead of going, hey, Claude, tell us about this, I thought each of us would ask one general question and see where it goes. And I'm inspired by what you're talking about with the Exiles to say, and for Casey, it's going to be the Exiles. For Phil and Claude, you think of your favorite property, but fill in the blank. Do you think your favorite property will ever make it to a screen in a way that you enjoy? So, Casey, yours is Exiles. What do you think it'd make it to a TV show, Netflix show, a movie in a way that you would deem awesome?
Oh, it'd be so easy to do because the Gifted already has your teenage superheroes running around amok. And there's already a precedent of television for jumping into alternate worlds and doing stuff, you know, whether it's Fringe or Quantum Leap is an alternate realities, but it's the same kind of thing. But Sliders, of course, these are shows that have lasted like 4 or 5 seasons, which is a pretty solid run. Long enough where it hasn't exactly run its course where you know, where it hasn't gotten like too stale, you know, but short enough where it's, you know, just it's nice and closed up. Will they ever do it with Exiles? I probably doubt it. I don't know if it's ever been a popular enough property. Even when it was going month to month, and I was reading it since, I guess 2000. It wasn't always on the edge of cancellation, but it was never like a top 10 book or whatever. Like it'll never outpace Uncanny X-Men or Wolverine's own book or Spider-Man every month, or heaven forbid the Avengers. But it is a book, and you know, by extension, what would be a TV show with a huge amount of potential and an easy way for you to write people out of the cast. You know, because as soon as somebody dies or is left behind on a mission, they get replaced with somebody new. It's tailor made to go on with a rotating cast of people, Misfits. You know, like Misfits.
Mm-hmm.
Do you guys watch that show?
Yeah.
Oh, Misfits is great. That's right up your alley, Phil. It's about a bunch of British delinquents.
Is it about the band the Misfits? Because then I'm in.
No.
No.
Yes. Yes.
All right. Well, then I'm great in. Too.
Go watch it. No, it's about a bunch of British delinquents who get struck by lightning and get superpowers, and they have to deal with that after they accidentally kill their probation worker.
Now, do you think modern TV movie going audiences can get behind swapping the cast out like that? Because when Misfits did it first, it threw me off because they actually got rid of my favorite character first.
Yeah, Nathan, everybody's favorite. Yeah.
I mean, they're all good. They all grew on you, but then, you know, but I will tell you this, I stuck with the show, and as they moved into the next season and they only had one of the original cast left, you fell in love with the new cast, and then they just kind of kept going on to Rudy. Rudy was, he was the best. I love him and everything he does, the actor who ever played.
What you really need, and this was the magic that made the comic work, is that you've got, what is it, 70 issues, they had pretty much the same three people. They had Blank Morph and Mimic on the team. And when they kill off Mimic, it's kind of a huge deal because you don't really think it's going to happen, even though it's a book where anybody can die. But look, if it could be done in publishing form, I think it could be done in TV form. You have one or two mainstay lead people who pretty much always stay on the show. And as the show goes on, they become more of like a battle weary veteran because they see all their friends like die or move on or change out, you know, and it's just more means for character development for the ones you already know as you introduce new people.
Gotcha. All right, Klaus, what is your favorite property? And you know, same question. Will it come to screen in a way that you'll like?
I think likely not. My favorite property is a book series called The Malazan Book of the Fallen by Steven Erikson. It's a high fantasy, often told from the perspective of grunts in a huge army, an empire's army. Think the world building of, you know, Tolkien, Lord of the Rings type stuff with the character work and drama of Game of Thrones. Yeah. And just a scale that is incredibly epic. The problem is, as I said, it's high fantasy. And it's also like this gentleman who has crafted this world has created hundreds of characters, and they all are, well, not all, but many of them are meaningful in some capacity, if only for a book or so. There's 10 books in the main series, and I just don't see it ever getting done. I once said that about Game of Thrones, though, but you know, now that we've seen it done, it's not so unfeasible. But in this case, it's gargantuan, to say the least, basically. But what I really love about that series is that, like I said, the character work is fantastic. Like you're getting a certain Band of Brothers type vibe from what's going on, because like there are no sacred cows. Like he'll kill people like Martin will kill people. There's epic scale, like you know, in dealing with gods and demigods and stuff like that walk the earth.
Nice.
It's cool, and it's got a lot. One of the central themes to the series is the concept of convergence, and that, you know, powerful people and things draw other powerful people and things together. So like every couple books or so, there's a huge convergence of like insane power level stuff going on. And you get to see a lot of that from the perspective of just the, you know, the normal people, the people who get caught up, the small folk, if you will. And you just like you're basically seeing Titans clash, and you're seeing a whole bunch of normal people try to get out of the way of it a lot of times. And it's really cool. Early in the series, they do one of the most amazing things I've ever read. Something akin to the basically a fantasy version of the Trail of Tears, basically, but rather than them being displaced, natives, it's they're an entire region is being evacuated with a dwindling military force that is trying to protect them, and they're getting dogged in their pursuit. And it's full of brutal harshness and also very uplifting moments. And then it's incredible. That book series actually ruined fiction for me. Like,
wow,
I can't read fantasy books anymore. Even sci-fi is rough. Because
have you read The Kingkiller Chronicle by Rothfuss?
I've heard good things, and I will probably check it out. Because I have like five or six people in my close group of friends that have all now caught up on the series as well. And Rothfuss is one of the ones that comes up a lot, and they're like, they really like it. So, but it's tough.
He's like the king for me right now. I mean, I've read a fair share of fantasy. I haven't read the series you're talking about, but
well, you should.
I will.
It's a big investment, though.
Is it like Wheel of Time big?
No, it's 10 books in the main line. The books are lengthy.
10 books!
Yeah, well, but it's complete, so okay. There's that. He finished it a few years ago, like 4 or 5 years ago.
Suck it, Game of Thrones. It's complete. Yeah.
Well, that's a shot at both Game of Thrones and Wheel of Time because, people are really afraid of George R. R. Martin not making it to the end like Jordan didn't. So even though Sanderson is not bad, it's just not what some people were looking for. But yeah, no, that I don't think that can get adapted effectively. And I think that the themes are a little too deep for general consumption. That's not to say that I think the general populace is stupid or anything like that. It's just the author previous in his life was a cultural anthropologist and had actually like worked in the field and stuff. You know what I mean? Like doing archaeological excavations and stuff like that. So his world building is really detailed, like really, really detailed to a fantastic degree. And yeah, so but it's my favorite series, but it'll never see the light of day, I don't think.
And it seems like the more intricate something is, the harder it is to translate.
Oh, yeah. Especially because you can't – if you half, effort this, it'll blow up in your face. Like the fans will destroy you and everybody else will be like, well, that was dumb.
So massive.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
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 Kind of like that Shannara series that MTV did. Like why did they do it like that?
Yeah.
I don't know. It was weird. And it was like, it didn't feel like the Shannara that I read when I was a kid. You know what I mean?
Are you trying to say She-Ra? Shannara. I think you're trying to say She-Ra.
Dude. No.
No, this is not power. Phil, what is your favorite property and will it make it to the screen in a way you love?
Well, maybe. For a very long time, I was hoping that Lock and Key would finally make it onto television, but it kept getting canceled and then reordered and then recanceled and then ordered. And as of right now, it's ordered for Hulu. So we'll see how that goes. I think they were kind of waiting to see how The Runaways did before they greenlit another supernatural comic book series. So hopefully that goes through. But my main IP will probably never come out. I want to see a Fallout show.
Oh my gosh.
I want to see, the vault life and then having to come out to a desolate war zone. And I think it would be great on, I hate to be cliche, but like
AMC.
Boom. Or I would like to see it more on something that they can get away,
HBO.
Well, I'll even take it on Amazon Prime.
Oh, sure.
If you put it right into a streaming service and allowed them to do whatever the hell they want.
As long as you got it with the ludicrous, giblets, that's like core Fallout right there.
And, you have dog meat and a man just trying to work his way through. So,
yeah.
But I don't see it happening. I think that society is pretty much past desolate, post-apocalyptic. You know, I don't know.
For now,
those morons keep showing up for Walking Dead every
week. I know, but like, come on, they have to stop at some point, right?
I'm kidding. I've watched.
It's 2032. Walking Dead is elected president of the United States.
Rick Grimes is elected president.
Well, he will be because he's got plot armor. So, but I think it could work. You know, just a single story about a man versus the elements, about, you know, versus raiders, just trying to make it through. Maybe
a man and his dog.
Man and his dog in a power suit. That's all I want.
So you want Mad Max
set in Philadelphia?
Okay.
So we're not picking a specific game. We're not doing 4 or 3.
No, because I want it to be its own separate storyline, you know, because they'll never be able to make a perfect creation of all the side quests and all the main quests of a game. It just, I want them to do a standalone story that has, you know, nothing to do with any of the games, because then you can't ruin anything, right? If you're doing it all, mm-hmm. all original writing, then there's nothing to forget about. There's nothing for the fans to, you know, okay, well, you didn't really get this character look down. Well, that doesn't matter because I just made the character up. So
yeah, and you gotta get Ron Perlman though to get war never changes. Yeah,
him doing the intro for every episode would be fantastic.
Yeah,
and then cast Idris Elba as the main person, and
damn,
yeah.
They already made the Dark Tower.
Oh, stop it. Shut up. No, they didn't. They did not make the Dark Tower.
You know,
what about you, Charles?
I think my properties would fall under that same two niche. The two games I'm just the most fascinated by and I'll play every iteration of ever is XCOM and Dead Space. And I think Dead Space, they would cheap out and go too much for the... And you can even say the game does this, but they cheap out and go too much for the thrill of, oh, crap, this popped out, and, oh, scared the screen. And while that is a part of the game, the real heart of the game is there's this guy in the first game, Isaac, who is literally just there to go grab some materials off a ship, and all of a sudden, hell literally breaks loose. And he's an engineer, and he's got to figure out how to get off this ship with only engineering skills. And yet,
oh, well, don't forget the classic, he's got to save his girlfriend.
Yeah, well, there's always that. But then there's some twists, right, with the girlfriend and the thing. And I just love the writing of that game, of what they do to fuck his mind up. And still, even through all the experiences, he's not a badass. He's never a badass, other than the curb stomping. That's the only game I've ever played. You can curb stomp anything. It's pretty awesome. But, you know, he never gets, like, super proficient with rifles. And now, one shot to the head, one shot. No, it's always, every time the aliens break out on you, it's always, holy shit, am I going to make it through? And I love that about the game because it doesn't feel cheap. It feels like I'm fighting for survival. And that's what a survival horror should be. And I don't think they would do that right on the screen. Then XCOM, man, I've played every version they've ever put out. I just beat XCOM 2. And then I had a sad moment, and then I realized I bought the version with add-on and expansion, so I get to go play some more XCOM, too.
Woo! The Chosen.
I love it.
So have you, Charles, watched any of the Dead Space animated?
Oh, yeah. I don't know if there's more. I saw the one that came out with the first game. Freaked me the fuck out because I had no idea what it was going to be. And I'm not cartoon showing nudity and gore, so it threw me way off, but I loved it. But there's two, you said?
Yeah, there's Aftermath, which is the second one, and then there's Downfall and Aftermath.
Downfall I've seen. And I love the religious aspect, too, that weaves into all of this.
The marker.
Yeah. I would love to see it, but at the same time, I'd be that hesitation that Klaus is talking about of, but are you going to grab the aspects that I loved about it, or are you going to go with what you think the surface has to offer and just do scary faces jumping out and over-the-top religious zealots? And, you know, if they did it kind of like Legion, where you never knew what was quite real, then I think they could do the show and it'd be okay. XCOM, I think I love it because it's just a strategy and I get connected to the characters that I create there. And I always just want to... I just want to blow some alien heads off. You know, that's all I want to do with the game. So when they beat me, reset. No, you bitch, you ain't going to do that. You know, and so I don't think it'd be a good show, but I love that property. And it'd be fun. It'd be fun if they did it right. It'd be kind of like Rampage, right? Coming out this summer featuring The Rock.
I am so stoked for it.
I am too.
It blows my mind.
That is going to be so bad. And it's going to be amazing.
You know what it leads with from the creators of San Andreas. You're like, all right, you know what you're going to get after that statement. You really do. Which I have a niche in my heart for destruction movies. You know, it doesn't have to have a story. I loved 2012 because it was so over the top stupid. I just loved seeing how you're being the director, your vision of how the world will fall apart. I just like seeing that played out. And so I'm definitely going to watch Rampage. They kept the core of the game. The monsters are destroying the buildings. That's all you really need to have to make it Rampage. You know, anything other than that is just icing. What about Portal? I want to throw one last out real quick for everybody. Can you make a Portal movie that'd be as good as the game was?
Sure.
Yes, but it has to be based around the, you know, obviously the test subject trying to break out of the laboratory, and a little bit more about oh shit! What the hell is it? It's not Black Mesa. It's
Aperture Science.
Aperture.
Thank you, Aperture. So, I would like to get like more background lore on Aperture. Yeah. Except Steam makes too much money off the site, and they don't make video games or anything else anymore.
So, no, yeah, you're right. You're right. Yeah,
I would want that show to have an actual silent protagonist.
Yeah, that'd be nice. Or even Half-Life 3 would be nice, but...
Oh, I'm sorry, man.
All right, come on. We're doing, like, realistic hypotheticals here.
I'll never let it die. It's coming out. You'll see.
The fun note, when The Mist first came out, the movie, which I did not at the time know was based on a Stephen King book, I saw the trailer and went, they made a Half-Life movie! Oh, my God, they made a Half-Life movie! And then it turned out to be The Mist by Stephen King. Like, not Half-Life at all, but it sure is
classic Charles.
But go back and find that trailer on YouTube. If you've played Half-Life, you need to have some reference to actual game to be able to get. But if you have Half-Life in your brain and you watch that trailer, that it lines up point for point, as because the game is inside of Black Mesa, the mountain, right? What happened in the city outside of Black Mesa? Of course, we get that a little bit later, but that's what it looked like. They're going to tell the story from outside the mountain of Black Mesa, and it was.
Do it as a miniseries, just the 7-hour war.
Yeah, and but go back to the portal. What if they did it like Black Mirror, where every episode the protagonist did not make it, so the next episode has a new one with new tests, and we follow GLaDOS the whole time.
That's I would watch that. I would watch the shit out of that right
Dude,
now.
That's like a Cube television show. Oh, that's crazy. Cube.
Holy crap. Yeah.
I love Cube.
I watched that at a very inappropriate age. That movie. It fucked me up pretty good. All right.
Wait, how old were you when that came out? How is that an age appropriate?
He was 40.
Yeah, it came out in 1997.
45, sorry. My math was off.
No, dude, I thought I saw it when I was 13 or something, but no, I guess if it came out nice, I might be thinking of something else. And no,
are you talking about the old Jim Henson one?
No, I'm not thinking of Gleaming the Cube either, assholes.
Okay.
No, the one where the rooms change and they have to go through.
Are you thinking of Hellraiser?
I don't know, maybe.
I think Hellraiser has a similar premise, doesn't it?
Hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, it's got one room that changes.
That changes into the he just the stays horrible. In the attic.
Yeah.
For Hellraiser 1, at least.
I don't know. I don't want to.
Whatever. Long story short, folks, watch Cube, and if that gets adapted into a Portal television series, I'm all for
then,
it.
Then watch a sequel, Gleaming the Cube, and you'll really get your mind.
All right. I'm breaking the cubel.
I'm leaving.
We'd love to hear your thoughts, your favorite IP, your favorite property that can possibly be made into a movie and how it be done. You can hit us up, btp@giantsizeteamup.com. You can phone it in going to giantsizeteamup.com/breakingthepanel. There's a nice little speak pipe tab right there on the right-hand side of the screen. Click it with any device that has a microphone. Do your 90 seconds and tell us how your property be made into a movie. We'd love to play that next week. Find us on iTunes and GiantSizeTeamUp.com, Patreon.com/BreakingThePanel, where you can show some love and support. And go check out Botched. Phil, tell everybody a little bit about Botched real quick.
Botched is a actual playthrough 5th edition D&D show. We are a little bit of drunks who misroll dice. We're kind of like Game of Thrones, not with the good storylines, but all your favorite characters will be killed right off the bat.
Multiple times.
For dumb things. Or, you know, they'll just take limbs from you and then make you hobble around. I'm not bitter about this that happened 2 years ago, but everything can be found
on multiple occasions.
Yeah, it's multiple characters. Everything can be found.
Last year, your last character, Brock, you refused to let him die. He just kept taking limbs.
I kept replacing him with robot parts.
Yeah, Mecha Brock.
And then at the end, I looked like Taskmaster with just
the toxic Avenger.
The toxic Brock Avenger. Go over to botchpodcast.com. You can find everything. Social media, Patreon, episodes, it's all over there.
All right, Casey, where can they find you outside of this show?
They can find me at TV's Casey on Twitter, where I'll occasionally say something. But I also moonlight on a show called the Bad Coyote Funky Podcast. What's it about? Who's to say? But check us out. We're going live Thursday nights on twitch.tv/badcoyotefunky.
You know, the one time I actually was available to watch this show, because I'm usually recording Pokemon Go on Thursday nights, I saw you shared on Twitter or somewhere on Facebook and said, hey, we're doing a live show right now. I'm like, cool, I get to see Casey do his other show. I hit the go button and got on the Twitch and said, Star Wars spoilers. I'm like, nope, I haven't seen it yet. Shut you up. That was the one time I got to watch you for 3 seconds. That's all, it was going to be spoiler filled. And I was like, no, I hadn't seen the movie yet. Can't do that.
Someday people will appreciate my side chick.
Probably not.
Paul, where can they find all the lovely things you do?
Please don't.
Fair enough. He's going to be more involved on the Breaking the Panel page on Facebook and check him out here every week.
Don't tell people where I'm doing. Oh.
I love the Skype auto tune because it didn't cut you out. It just gave you notes. That was awesome.
it's probably because I got loud really quickly. It didn't modulate.
Yeah.
But yeah.
All right, everybody. Well, that's going to be it for the show. So tune in next week to hear Casey say,
we're a show on the internet that we do for you.
And screw you, Chris. Yeah. For quick.
Breaking the Panel is the flagship podcast on the Giant Size Team Up Network. You can support the show at patreon.com/breakingthepanel. And you'll find more of our amazing podcasts at giantsizeteamup.com.